So this morning, we are going to look at Jesus, where he says the fourth statement in John's gospel, I am the good shepherd. And I'm just so blessed I get to teach on this morning. It's really blessed me this week. To understand why Jesus said this, we have to remember back to chapter 9, when we saw him heal the blind man on the Sabbath day. This angered the religious leaders. The blind man was questioned and kicked out of the synagogue, and Jesus found him. The man believed, and he was saved. Then in verses 1 to 10 of chapter 10, we saw Jesus compare himself to the religious leaders. He had spoken to them about darkness and light in chapter 9. Then in chapter 10, he changed the image to a shepherd and his sheep. This is something that the Jews could understand. These religious leaders, they weren't understanding, were they? Now, last week, we also learned that the sheepfold was usually an enclosure made up of rocks and just an opening. There was no door, and the shepherd would lay in front of that sheepfold to kind of act as a barrier. He would protect the sheep from predators. He was the door. The true shepherd comes in through the door, and the porter recognizes him. But the thieves and robbers do not enter through the door. They climb in some other way, and that's what our verses told us last week. Jesus was calling the religious leaders and false shepherds thieves and robbers here. And today, starting in verse 11, through the rest of our chapter, Jesus continues to compare himself with these false shepherds. Now, let's start reading in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep. So Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He is the genuine shepherd. He does this to show that there was a difference between him and the other shepherds of that day. The word means good. The word good means proper, beautiful, chiefly good, valuable, virtuous, intrinsically good, honest, and worthy, and a couple other definitions that I found. But he is good. Now, this is because he is God. God is completely good. He is the only one that is completely moral, free of evil or sin. His goodness is in his nature. What a difference this is from you and I, ladies. We are not this at all, are we? This is why we need him so desperately in our lives. In our study today, we see that Jesus is good and why he is the good shepherd in four ways. And if you're taking notes, you can write these down. He is good because he died for his sheep. Second, he is good because he knows his sheep. Third, because he calls and gathers his sheep. And fourth, because he cares for his sheep. So first he says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This statement is made several times in our passage in verses 11, 15, 17, and 18, emphasizing that he was willing to die for his sheep, which he did. Now, Jesus voluntarily laid down his life so that you and I could have eternal life. No one forced him. He did it completely voluntarily. The good shepherd cares about his sheep. Now, this was a glaring difference from the religious leaders of that day. They were greedy and they exploited the people. Now, in Jeremiah 23:1-2, Jeremiah the prophet said, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil of your doings. And Isaiah gave a warning to the greedy shepherds of his day in Isaiah 56:10-11 by saying, his watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain from his own territory. So we see, wow, can you imagine having that said about us? That's quite the statement by both of these men. Jesus was very different, though, ladies. He compares himself to the hireling here, or the hired hand, in our verses. Now, these were not shepherds. They were day laborers that would take care of the sheep for money. Now, this was a reference to the Pharisees. They did not love the sheep, and when the wolves and thieves would show up, they would run and hide. These hirelings had no loyalty to the shepherd and no interest in the sheep. But the true shepherd cared for the flock. They were willing to give their lives for the sheep. Shepherds would take their flocks far from villages in search of pasture and water, especially during the dry season. They could not always get back to the fold at night, and so they would spend the night out there in the wilderness overnight. But this is when it was most dangerous. There was always a threat of robbers and dangerous animals that could come and attack. Many shepherds died defending their sheep. Now, verse 14 goes on to say, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by, and am known by my own. Now, this is our second point. To know is much more than being able to identify a person. It involves intimacy, a deep understanding of the person or object involved. It means to be chosen or loved. Jesus knows us and he loves us, ladies. We were chosen. Can you comprehend that with all of our flaws and insecurities and issues that we have? He still loves us. It is so hard to understand sometimes, isn't it? Because sometimes we don't feel lovable, especially when we mess up and we have a bad week. Like a shepherd loves his sheep, Jesus loves us, his sheep. Did you know that sheep are mentioned over 300 times in the Bible, more than any other animal? And it's a fact that they're not very smart. And as Alicia told us last week, they're needy. They're also defenseless. They can't protect themselves. They get lost, they have poor eyesight, they tend to follow other sheep, and they're stubborn. Who does this remind us of? And don't look to the person next to you or mutter your husband's name under your breath. It's us, isn't it? It's all of us. None of us wants to admit it, but it's so true. Without our shepherd, we get lost, we are stubborn, and we tend to follow other sheep. And I even have poor eyesight, ladies. How about you? I'm wearing contacts right now. We're a mess, aren't we? If sheep didn't have a shepherd, they would die, literally. Last October, my husband and I bought a property in Menifee, almost an acre. And I'm a city girl. I like parking in a garage. And so this has been a whole new world. I'm not parking in a garage anymore. My car is filthy. You walk out, you'll see it out there. But since moving on to this property, I feel like both a farmer and a shepherd. It's been interesting, and as some of you know, and I've talked about them before, I have two basset hounds, Allie and Joe. Now, they remind me a lot of sheep. They're stubborn, they get lost, we can't find them, they follow each other, and Joe can't see, he's going blind, he's a senior dog. So recently, he scratched his eye on a bush while he was out there, and it was a whole thing. We had to take him to the vet, and it cost us hundreds of dollars. And Allie won't come inside unless she gets a treat. So last week, when it was raining, I was out there chasing her around in the rain and the mud. And that we have a treat bowl right as you walk in the back door, and she has to have a treat before she comes in. She's very stubborn. Well, she reminds me of me. And I know that God gave me these two dogs, so I had an example right in front of me. Now, when we first moved on to this property, my friend Luann gave me some pointers on the farm life. And I have to admit that she scared me half to death about the coyotes. I thought they would be in our yard all the time. I was, you know, really worried about this. But Allie's chunky, and she would make a great meal for one of these coyotes. So I was really nervous. As a shepherd watches his sheep, I watch my sheep. And I make sure that they're safe and that they're out, when they're outside, I watch them. The good shepherd gave his life for his sheep. Now, I'm not sure that I would do this for my dogs. In fact, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't. I would, you know, if a coyote came, I'd just throw her right out there and run. No, I'm kidding, but, well, not really. But ladies, he died for us. Our good shepherd died for us so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have eternal life in heaven with him. He knows that we are prone to wander and that we're stubborn and that we're prideful at times. So how can God love us like this? We definitely don't deserve it, right? It's just his grace. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So Warren Wiersbe said, "Eastern shepherds knew the name of each sheep and could call it out of the fold each morning. But the shepherds also knew the nature of the sheep. Those that were prone to wander, those that wanted their own way, those that delayed obeying their shepherd's commands. Because the shepherds possessed this kind of knowledge, they were better able to care for the flock." He knows that we are flawed. He is not surprised by it. There's nothing that we could do that would catch him off guard. I have a granddaughter who's 2 years old, and she's so loved. You guys all know, I talk to you and show you pictures, you see them on Facebook. But she's sweet and loving, and she's just a delight to be around. But sometimes she has a not-so-good day, like we all do, right? Her mom and dad are so patient and loving with her, but they're also firm. When correction is needed, they correct, but they always love her and would choose to be her parents again. My granddaughter doesn't need to earn her parents' love or ours. We just love her. This is how Jesus is with us. We have bad days. We can be selfish, jealous, irritable, stubborn, like a sheep. Think and say the wrong things and wander away and get distracted, can't we? But instead of throwing us out, our loving Father corrects us and shows us how to do better. This is what a good parent does. When we need to be corrected, he corrects us. We just need to be correctable. God loves us, but he will not excuse our sin. He is a holy God. When he corrects us, we need to repent and we need to turn around. Now, we could not love that little girl any more than we do. She calls me Graw-Graw because she can't say grandma. So I'll be Graw-Graw forever. I'm going to have all my grandchildren and they'll all call me Graw-Graw. And when she gives me runs to me and says, "Graw-Graw," and gives me a hug, my heart melts, ladies. Think about how you feel about your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and even your pets, how much you love them. And then think about how much more Jesus loves you. The good shepherd knows his sheep, he loves them, and our verses say that he is known by them. Every relationship is two-sided. How do we truly know somebody? We spend time with them, right? The same is true for our relationship with Jesus. We have to have true intimacy with him, we have to spend time with him. We need to read his word, talk to him in prayer, and when we do this on a regular basis, we will recognize his voice. The shepherd already knows us. He knows about everything that we go through. Before we even speak it to him, he already knows it. But how will we know him if we never hear his voice? We need to open his word and we need to listen for it. Woodrow Kroll says, "Shepherds often banded together for safety. They would put their sheep together in the sheepfolds at night. In the morning, each shepherd would enter the sheepfold and call his sheep, and they would follow their leader out. Shepherds knew their sheep well, even giving them names. The sheep were so familiar with their shepherd's voice that they would leave the sheepfold only when they heard their master's voice. Other shepherds could call and call, but with no response from the sheep but his own. Do we know our shepherd's voice? Do we respond when he calls us or speaks to us? That takes us to our third point in verses 15 to 18. The shepherd calls or gathers his sheep. "So as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So notice that our verses say other sheep here. This is you and I, the Gentiles. There is a Jewish fold and a Gentile fold. Jesus began his ministry going to the lost sheep of Israel. In Matthew 10, 5 through 6, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But in Acts, he made it clear that the Gentiles would be included in his church as well. Acts 28:28 says, "Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." And Peter took the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts 10 through 11. The gospel was for the Jew first and then the Gentile. But they are all now brought together into one flock with one shepherd, Jesus Christ. We are all included now. Galatians 3:26 through 28 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus." Jesus calls all lost sinners, Jew and Gentile alike now. Now, as believers, our job is to go and share the gospel with others that they might be brought into the flock as well. In both Mark 16:15 and Matthew 28:19 through 20, he tells us to go. Go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, and to go into all the nations and make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them. To go involves movement on our part. There are people that need to hear about Jesus, and we're commanded to go and share the gospel with them. Is this always easy? No, it's not. Sometimes they don't want to hear it, right? We have, I know I have people in my own life that are so resistant, they want nothing to do with Jesus. They don't want to hear about him, and it's hard. It's hard to share when that happens, and there seems to be a closed door. So what do? We pray for them. Pray for a softened heart, pray for an opening, and when there's a little bit of an opening, we share, and we just pray for them. And when God opens a door, we share with them. In Acts 18, 9 through 10, Paul was in Corinth ministering, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision at night, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you." So there was a lot of opposition, but Paul, just like Jesus, did not let it move him. He continued there another year and a half after this and taught the word of God. Are we sharing the gospel with those lost sheep that need it, ladies? Do we have a heart for them? Are we willing to be uncomfortable to do it? I love the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15. In this parable, the shepherd placed the 99 sheep in a safe place, and they went out into the wilderness to find that one lost sheep. That one sheep was so important to him. Laying aside his own comfort and safety, and when he found the sheep, the shepherd tenderly picked that sheep up and put him on his shoulders and carried him back to safety. That one lost sheep was so important to our shepherd, and this should be our heart as well, and we should want to share the gospel with those that are out there. Now, next in verse 19, we see that there was division among the Jews, and I'm not going to go into this for time's sake. What Jesus was saying in this passage and throughout the Gospels was very controversial. The religious rulers did not want the people to listen to him. They wanted power and control, and this is why he faced so much opposition. We come to verse 27 to 29 as we finish this morning, and it tells us that the good shepherd cares for the sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." The sheep hear him, know him, and follow him. They are safe with him. He says, "And I give them eternal life." No one can steal us away from our shepherd. Our salvation is secure in him. If the sheep followed the shepherd, they would be protected and have abundant life. The same is true for us. How many times has our salvation is secure in him. But how many times has God taken care of us and protected us? And even more so when we're close to him, because we're hearing from him. So it's important to stay close to him. And then it says that they'll have an abundant life, and the same is true for us. A shepherd would go before the sheep, finding the best pastures and safest sources of water. He knew that his sheep needed to lay down and rest. He would make sure that there were no holes or dangerous enemies hidden in the pasture. They would follow him and they would not perish. So Psalm 23 gives us a beautiful picture of this. King David wrote it from his experience as a shepherd, and I'm going to have you turn to Psalm 23 with me real quick. And let's go ahead and read this together out loud. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He leads us, his sheep, to green pastures, by quiet waters, through dark valleys, and past dangerous enemies. Our shepherd is always with us. He protects and he cares for us. The words "I shall not want" here mean that we are satisfied with our owner, lacking nothing, and we have everything that we need in our shepherd's care. It does not mean that we have everything that we want, but everything that we need. The economy has been rough this year, and the last couple of years, but especially this year, I've noticed it, that everything's gone up, right? Eggs especially, we all know that. But most groceries, gas, and I filled up my tank yesterday and it cost me $73, which seemed like a lot to me. I was caught by surprise, but and my husband usually fills up my tank. That's why I was like, really? $73? I know. I'm very blessed. But we may not be able to buy a new car or a new blouse, but God does provide what we need, doesn't he? There's times where we just get a check in the mail, or we find a coupon. I love coupons. Or somebody just brings us food if we're struggling. It's such a blessing. But just as a shepherd has his heart for the sheep, our shepherd wants the best for us. And we don't have to worry because he takes care of us. He is our good shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures is meaningful because sheep do not like to lay down. There has to be perfect conditions for them to do so. They must be free of fear, tension, aggravations from other sheep, and hunger. Kind of like us. I know I don't like to lay down when I'm hungry or I'm aggravated. So to get them to lay down, the secret was to fill up that flock quickly. Just like us, we need to eat, don't we? So that they would lay down and rest. Now this required a lot of labor on our shepherd's part. He'd have to clear rocks, bushes, roots, and stumps. Once the pasture was right, the sheep would eat, and then they would lay down. He leads me beside still waters. Alicia shared with us last week how sheep have to have completely still water to drink from, completely free of movement. It's the same with you and I. It's in those the quiet and the stillness that we are able to commune with the Lord. Psalm 46:10, a verse that many of us know well, says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still literally means to let go of, to take our hands off. It means to quiet ourselves down and to spend time with God. It's in that stillness that we get to hear from him. Now, I thought it was interesting that at the close of every day, a shepherd would then lead his flock back to the field and would examine each sheep for wounds or injuries. A tender physician, he would tend to those wounds or injuries. He wanted his sheep to be comforted for the night as they settled in. And I just love that picture. How many times have you or I been hurting or grieving, and our shepherd comes to us and he tends to us, giving us comfort, comfort that no one else can. We can talk to every friend that we have or our spouse, but only Jesus can really minister to our heart in that way. What are you going through today? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Let him minister to you and tend to your broken heart. Psalm 143 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. I know in some of the hardest times of my life that Jesus has just come in and healed those wounds in my heart. Just as sheep were safe with their shepherds, so are we. He cares for us. So today we saw why he is the good shepherd. He died for his sheep. He knows his sheep. He called or gathered his sheep, and he cares for his sheep. As we finish today, I want to ask you some questions to consider. What does the good shepherd mean to you? When you hear his voice, what are some ways that you respond? Do you reciprocate his love? It takes two to have a relationship. Tell him and show him that you love him. Do you love to hear his voice? Do you read his word? Is it a source of enjoyment for you? Or has it been a while since you really spent time with him and heard him speak to you? And do you respond to his call when he does speak to you and calls you? Are you obedient? Or do you go the opposite direction like those stubborn sheep and the shepherd has to come looking for you? Our shepherd loves us, ladies. He knows us, but do we desire to know him? Let's pray.